You're listening to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the teaching ministry of Christ Church. This is the message as recorded from Sunday morning, October 11th, 2009.
Refuge for the poor, a shelter from the storm. This is our God. He will wipe away your tears and return your wasted years. This is our God. So call upon his name. Mighty to save, this is our God.
Father to the orphan, healer to the broken, this is our God. Brings peace to our madness, comfort in our sadness. This is our God. So call upon his name. He is mighty to save. This is our God.
Do something a little different today. The nature of all that we're experiencing as a community, those things that Barry has just shared with us, the conviction that we all have that God has intended us to be salt and light as the church, as the body of Christ. We've been talking about our vision statement and our core values, communicating Christ. That's what we're to be about. And it's not always just in the proclamation, let the guy stand up with his microphone on and speak. It's about our lives and the way that we live them in this society, in our community, in our homes, among our neighbors and our friends. And so what I want to do is I want to just for a few moments play a little biblical trivial pursuit with you here, run through about six passages and read them. And I'm going to promise you to comment very little because I want God's word to speak to our hearts specifically through all that we're experiencing together this morning. So if you would, start with me in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, the first few verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And Hebrew scholars will tell us that the reference to darkness, the reference to the formless and empty nature of things, utter chaos. The world was uninhabitable. Look down to verse 14. And then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, a greater light to govern the day and a lesser light to govern the night. Notice that he said, let there be light on day one, moment one. And the sun wasn't put into place until later. That light that we need for life, its source is our God. Turn ahead with me to Isaiah chapter 60. Should be just about middle, a little past middle of your Bible, the book of Isaiah chapter 60. This text comes at a time when the prophet Isaiah is speaking about the judgment of nations, the judgment even of Israel for having rejected God. And in the midst of this prophetic prediction of punishment and suffering, we find this, Isaiah 60, the first few verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Scholars will tell you that points to Jesus. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of rejection, in the midst of hurting, suffering, brokenness, God is dawning a light. That light is Jesus. And I commit the rest of this chapter to you to read later to see what that starts to look like. Now turn with me to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, the very beginning. Fourth book in the New Testament. Should be a very familiar passage to you. Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning in the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You know, there's a song we sing, and often I like to sing it at Christmas time, that speaks of the light of the world stepping down into darkness. That's what happened in Jesus Christ. God brings light into the darkness. Jump down to verse 10 and read with me verses 10 through 14. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet, to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel message. Turn with me a couple of chapters ahead to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, again, another passage that you're so very familiar with. Begin with me at verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into that light so that it may be plainly seen. And what he has done is done through God. This is the gospel message. Turn with me ahead to 1 John. It's a letter near the end of your Bible, just a few little letters before Revelation. 1 John. Same author, by the way. 1 John, right at the beginning of chapter 1. First John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim according to the word of life. That life appeared, we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him, and we declare to you, God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet we walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. The light shines in darkness in our lives and brings light and life. Now, finally, turn back with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Verses 14, 15, and 16. Jesus speaking, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We're going to be talking about life evangelism over the course of the next week and next Sunday. But what I wanted us to see, through the hurt that we're all experiencing and our communities experiencing, through the difficulties of living together as community, even as Barry shared about this case here in Amherst, what you've just done is you've just done a blitz study on one of the greatest truths about our God, and that is that He's light. We see that it originated with Him. We see that it emanates from Him. We see that it was promised by Him. We see that it was embodied by Him in Jesus Christ. And we see that it's offered to us in the gospel. And then you come out the other end and you see that it's to be embodied by us to the rest of the world. He wasn't just talking about the people standing in front of Him. You're the light of the world. And I don't want to mess that up with any more of my words. You're the light of the world. May we not go kicking and screaming into that role. Tell you something kind of funny happened to me this morning. Worship band members will know exactly what I'm talking about. I stood here in our rehearsal yesterday. I told Sherry, "You picked the song, my least favorite song in the whole world. You're starting the worship service with it. If you're a Third Day fan, I'm sorry. I can't stand Mac Powell's voice. I can't stand the song City on a Hill. First song I got to play." See what happened? Tore up another string, didn't I? I hate that song, so oh, there it went, see? Kicking and screaming into the light I was. Then it took me the rest of the set to get back in tune. Wasn't that beautiful? Jesse's not here to see it. That's good news. We go kicking and screaming into the identity that He's given us. Evangelism is always someone else's work. Reparative ministry, always someone else's work. Rolling up our sleeves, shedding tears, always somebody else's work. You are the light of the world. That's what I hear from God this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, we gather here this morning, all agreeing and knowing together, our community needs you. We need your touch. May it be so that we're not standing on the sideline, paralyzed, waiting for someone else to show up and bear some light. God, you are light. You promise light. You've delivered light. You've embodied light. You've invited and offered light. And now you've called us to bear light. Father, may it be so. Go forth in and through us into this community and beyond. May we not go kicking and screaming, but empowered by your Spirit. Father, would you mess with our hearts over this, mess with our minds over this, that we can't be complacent, be hidden under a bowl, but rather that others would see our good deeds and look to you and wonder. We pray in Jesus' name.
Fountain for the thirsty, lover for the lonely, this is our God. He brings glory to the humble, and crowns for the faithful, this is our God. Save, this is our God. This is the one we are waiting for. This is the one we are waiting for. Yo, this is the one we are waiting for. This is our God.
Christ Church is a local expression of the body of Christ meeting in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you're in the southern New Hampshire area and you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you join us. You can find more information about Christ Church by visiting our website, ccnh.org. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.